Hi everyone, this is Gilad.
This is Nathan.
And we are here at Bike Banter, here with you once a week, every Thursday. Please join us for some fun bike talk.
Is it? Did you press record?
Yeah. Is the card in there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it formatted?
Yeah. Why doesn't anybody trust you?
What's the stuff on my headphones?
Because this is stuff that happened before where I pressed the play, but it didn't. And
you did that?
Oh,
yep.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yep. There's been some times.
Yeah.
Our Heather episode, that one was a bunch of false starts.
Oh, like three.
Yeah.
But because we had an issue also with the formatting of the card, which I was not completely on top of.
But you're getting there.
I'm getting better. It's not good, but it's getting better. Hi, Josh.
Hey.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi.
We're here.
He doesn't do a very good job of maintaining this stuff, does he?
Me? What?
No.
It's hard to say. You mean like the headphones? I don't know.
Yeah,
what's
what was in there?
I don't know.
A little treat.
I don't know.
A little treat.
Treat for who?
A rodent, I think, of something. Not a human treat. I'm not sure what, but probably some small animal would be thrilled to find whatever it is.
Something's in Nathan's
could
headphone.
Maybe build, yes. Could build a house out of it.
Schmutz.
And eat it.
Looked like
schmutz.
Yeah. What was that? What were you doing?
I don't know what I was doing. It's just, I don't think it's mine. I've never used these headphones, so I might not be the blame. Okay. You are using headphones just like his. Maybe it's schmutz from your ear. Maybe you guys are swapping schmutzes.
You put these on a lot of people's
but
heads.
The last person
your guests are great or whatever, but I, you know, could...
Tell me, what do I know?
Well, I know don't know where they...
You
I don't know their hygiene.
The hygiene is
that's the word you're looking for.
We need
ill, but like y'all are a bunch of mountain bikers or whatever. You guys are dirty.
Yeah, and you're
dirty.
What is he?
He's
flying glidey person.
Maybe paraglider.
Yeah,
sorry,
clean person.
No, right. Maybe a pigeon pooped on you. And
paramotor
on your head.
Paramotor.
That's a clean.
Sorry. I always get that mixed up.
That's an elitist. That hold on. That's an elitist sport.
Do you ever have a bird come and land on you while you're up in your,
your motor basket? Free flying. Yeah, there's videos on
they
YouTube.
They ever circle you?
People do way cooler stuff on YouTube than I'll ever do, by the way.
You mean in paramotor?
Yeah.
People even not on YouTube do cooler stuff than you do, so you don't need That's YouTube rude. For that. Why is Just yeah. People are cooler than you.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
Yeah, I stay in my lane.
Okay.
I'm not, like I said, I'm the hottest six my wife will ever... sleep with.
That's okay.
What?
Fine.
I stay in my lane. But all right. I've been
who told you you're six?
A six.
So you think you're like a six level? Like you, someone sees you, they'll say, "Oh, he's a solid six.
Out of 10."
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a 6 of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it'd be 7 or 9 for the Star Trek reference there.
Why are you guys such nerds?
What? Hey. What? This is going to go on Instagram.
Okay,
our shop
we'll
Instagram.
Start it over.
Okay, well, I got to start it over now.
Do you like my Instagram thing from today?
Here's what I'm doing. I'm, for the first time, recording a video of us talking. They can't hear you because you're not connected, but this is where we are. We're at my wife's office.
Yeah.
And this is Nathan usually on his chair.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting here chilling.
Although I typically sit where Josh is sitting if he's not here.
If he's not here, yeah.
Yeah. But you always sit there.
That's the space. Yeah. I do have my space.
Gilad has a spot.
This is so comfortable.
I got a big, cushy, nice...
Gilad's spot is facing the door, the main door.
So...
Because Gilad always has to... He always has to watch the door because he says that it's part of his
training. No, you got
to
know the exits.
No, I don't. You know, I make a point of not doing it anymore. Actually,
you want to know why I don't do it?
Why?
Because we both have backgrounds that would.
It's not. It wasn't.
So,
I didn't even notice it. Until
I
my
don't
wife.
Have that background, but I still feel that same thing.
No,
I still have that same instinct.
Do you want to know why I don't care?
Why?
I actually don't want to see the door because if somebody bursts in and they're going to shoot the whole place up, right?
You just want to die quietly.
I just want to die. I don't want to even.
You don't want a chance.
I don't want to see it. No.
You don't want to.
I don't want to see it. I just. Just take me out.
Versus
you
like
don't
that
be a
first.
Hero?
Do me for me a hero? Absolutely
no,
not.
But you know what? It's not a bad point that like, do you want to have that like 10 seconds of like, fear right. before you die, or you right. just want to like.
Yeah, and if I'm outgunned, I'm outgunned, I'm outgunned. Like if there's a situation, yeah. nothing. There's no run, hide, fight going on here, baby. Like I just want it to go. Just take me out.
We keep getting into this pattern here.
What? There's no pattern. Lately. There's shooter? No pattern.
Yeah, no, last time we talked about like...
Like the airplane, because I was yeah, talking about like airplanes. Kidnapping an airplane.
That's the best shit. Right. This is the good the, stuff. This that is was what a lot of that stuff. Want to talk about. I don't want to talk about nerd bike
oh,
stuff.
Oh, except that we just got like people talking about like the shoe, like they were upset about...
Oh, the boa? They got upset? Tell me about this.
A listener said that we were... Not we, actually.
I am Elon, wrong.
Was
about
dead
the
wrong. Dead
wrong.
Dead 100% wrong.
About it lifting, because as I recall, you said the point was that it didn't lift. What stupid stuff did you say?
That with cycling, weightlifting, skiing, your heel is the most important thing in the aspect of not moving.
They called you out?
And a boa is a good...
Yep, they got called out.
You don't need that in running.
I love they did
but,
that.
But, okay, just because someone called me out doesn't mean they're right.
100%. For you, I give them 90% that they're success right. rate. Yep.
Is that how it goes? Like, yeah. that's... So you guys are yeah. putting me down now.
No, I'm not putting you down. It's just you've said some stuff to me that made me believe you because you sell it.
And they were right.
You know what? I you think I'd go as high as...
they were right.
I'd go as,
they were right.
Josh, and you, I'd go as high as 50-50.
Okay.
What?
I'd go 50-50. Nice. I think that's a good
wait,
shot.
Wait. How many of the things that I've said were wrong? None.
A lot.
None.
Certain guests.
Boa.
That you have coming yes. over. Remember? I came to your house. You sold it really well.
Guests?
Never mind.
Sold... Can you wait? Do turn the mic off for a second,
and I'll just sit here and talk.
Oh,
about
I never had. I never had him.
You sold it.
As you like,
sold
oh, it well. I sold you.
No,
oh.
you sold me that he was showing.
Oh, no. I was making fun, and then right away I yeah. came out with it. But have I ever said information? Give you information?
I don't know because I don't.
Or wrong.
It's hard to trust you because your whole boa thing, and now whatever
the confidence.
Yeah. Told me he was 6 feet tall when I first started talking to him on the internet dating site.
I didn't say I was 6 foot tall. I said I was 5'11". Just saying.
Yeah.
But, you
common.
Know.
Have you ever lied about your height?
No.
You didn't need to, did you?
No, I've never, ever,
you got ever. You got in early.
I'm 5'7", like, on a warm day yeah. with the right socks.
And I'm not making... I'm just saying, in your yeah. situation, you never really had to lie about it, huh?
No, I always joke that I never, like... I can never lie about my height, but I'm also very accurate. I'm 5'7", not 5'6" and 5'10", like, whatever, 10... No. Like, when you're this short, you want to know exactly how tall you are. Like, I have friends who are, like, 6'3". Like, I'm 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". It's within the range of those 2 inches. I'm like, I don't have that. I don't have 2 ranges of age, of height.
Do
I can't
ever lie
say.
About your height, Nathan?
No. I
lying? Of you?
No, about height in general.
Have you lied about your height?
Why would I?
Exactly.
Well,
why
I don't
would
know.
Anyone?
You ever, like, downsell? Like, oh, I'm 5 foot.
I have done 11. That. Oh, I've done that.
Really?
Oh,
under,
what?
Yeah. You undersold
yourself. So that's lying about your height?
I know, but I did it the other way because it was like a...
So it's not a lie?
Oh, so it's not right. It's the other way?
Yeah, but
what?
This isn't
it's
cool.
It's like a white lie? Classify as that?
It was... I thought it would be more fun to see what the response would be like. Because being told, I didn't do anything for this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything to be short either.
Oh, you sinned a lot in a past life or something. They may have wanted to humble you.
You so think then are you saying that you did yep. good 100%. Things in a past life to get your height?
Oh, no, I think this is the life that I'm living this life. I'm coming back as Galad.
You know what I have tall friends for? I need to reach things that are up high, but really because I want to know when my fridge is dirty.
The top?
Yeah, and so I have a friend, I have him and I have Eric, and they'll come in and like,
yeah.
They put their finger on it. It's like it's dirty up there. Why don't you clean it? I was like,
you hand them white
I can
gloves
never
when they come
see
to the door.
It.
Here's can't your white gloves.
It. Can't see my fridge.
So you can the see top. The dust on them.
Yes.
But here's the deal. I wish I was jacked like you.
Jacked.
I wish I had your what am I
perfect?
To say?
I don't know.
No. Look of a David no. statue. What say? No. Say things you want to say.
Proportions. He's got good proportions.
I'll tell you this. Can I say?
Look at him.
Can I be realistic
jacked.
Now?
Yeah.
When I finished riding road bikes, I was basically 18, and I looked like a T-Rex. Like, my legs were the same size they are today, mm-hmm. right? Way lower fat, like, content.
But his arms were my size.
No, way smaller.
Yeah.
Like, than my arms?
Way smaller than your arms. Like, right. Think about it. So, you're 18. It's also like, it's a kid's body. It's double. Like, you don't have the...
Some people are... I was like that for sure, but I had a friend, Jeremiah, who was 6'4", and, like, he looked like he was 40. And, okay. Like, not even as a junior in high school.
So I didn't start having any facial hair at all till I was 20.
What, you have it now?
Yeah. No, but like at all. Yeah, like there was no...
This guy.
There was no like even like 3 weeks shaving.
Not even like four hairs.
Not even like the little bit on the side face. Next to the nothing.
Yeah. Mm,
I don't have a lot too, by the way, so I'm not really pointing.
I like,
I mean,
your
Josh over
hair.
Here, he's got...
I like your facial
he
hair.
Can do whatever he wants with it, right? He's got enough. You can like go big, trim it whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Thank you. By the way, but it's
Nathan, if you have never seen him, he actually has facial hair, but you say it takes you a long time to grow.
It takes a long time. It's pretty sparse.
But that looks good. I like you with facial hair more than I like you without it.
But he's got a really pretty jawline.
He does have a nice
jawline. Not seen me without my facial hair.
Yeah, I have.
When?
You've done it, I think.
No.
You haven't done it since we opened the shop?
No.
But I've seen you once without it.
Not with the... No, you've never seen... It's been... Since I've been fully, like, everything shaved on my face, it's... No.
I've seen a picture.
You've probably seen a picture.
You showed me a picture.
I do have a picture on my Instagram from like, when I was 24 and looked like I was 14.
He's got a really good jawline. I remember that. And usually beard, like yours, covers a really bad jawline.
Oh, I don't... I get uncomfortable. If I get used to you with a beard, I've seen some pretty homely looking dudes once they shave. Like when they have their beard, I'm like, oh man. I'm like,
manly.
No, not even that. I'm just like, oh, that's a good looking dude.
Yeah, and then they take the beard off,
and
no take chin.
And I go, and then it just makes me feel good about everything because I'm like, God. I used to be a little afraid, like kind of be like, don't, you know.
When did you start having beard?
Like this, when I could really just grow it out.
Yeah.
After I retired from the...
Oh, you could have done it before that, like...
Service.
You were capable of it, but you couldn't actually do it because of...
Well, you could only like grow your, it. You could only... When I was active duty, I couldn't grow it. I mean, you'd have, like, just whatever you could grow in, like, a few days for your days off. And then when I was in the...
What about, like, mustache only? Because it seems like, you know...
You have a mustache, but you have all those. It's so stupid. You end up looking...
Why is that?
It ends up looking pretty 1940s Germany. So,
but why is that? The kind of the... Like, if you're a firefighter or a police officer or something like that, you can... Or military, like, you're allowed to do the mustache, but you can't do more than that. Why
you
is
can
that?
Do beard.
Is there a reason
you
can
do
for
beard.
It?
Where?
In Israel, we can do a beard.
I'm not talking about Israel.
Either or. You can do...
You can't do both? You can either or?
No, you can either be a beard...
Uh-huh.
Or shaved, no between. There's no like 5 o'clock shadow.
How do you get to the beard?
Wait. You have to.
It's like saying you need 5 to 7 years of experience.
You got to fill a form out
and say you're in progress.
And yeah, like in the progress, you get this form, and then
I'm not being sloppy. I'm on my way to something big.
Yes, and so it has to be either religious reason usually, or like skin condition. Like so, usually people that have like some sort of rashes, they get a lot of rashes when they shave every day or whatnot. By the way, ask me how I had to shave every day.
Folliculitis?
Whatever. I don't know the name of stuff.
But here's...
Do you know what I did? I used to do...
What?
I used to wake up with shaving cream on my face. Not cream. Like the aftershave cream.
Uh-huh.
So it's shiny.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was my shaving.
Because
they always wanted me to shave. I'm like, I got nothing to shave.
Yeah, there's no point.
So at one point, like in the Navy could have beards at one point. And this wasn't during my time, but not that I was in the Navy, but, and it used to be, what are you laughing
personal
at?
Joke. First, something
you got
else.
A lot of experience in the,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. And then when gas masks, that was always, you know, it was that you couldn't get a seal on your gas mask.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Well, yeah. No, it was.
That's why then, the mustache.
But they make beard gas masks. They make one.
Yeah, and what's interesting, so like spec ops and whatnot, when you're bearded or there's lax grooming standards and you're overseas or the deployment calls for it and you can't have a beard, you know, that's still in an environment where potentially there could be a gas threat or a you know, sea burning or chemical biological warfare stuff. So anyway, so it doesn't really make sense when it comes to that argument. But now, as the U.S. Armed Forces faces some retention challenges, I think they're going to get closer to the potential that people could have beards.
Because that would make a difference and between somebody staying or not staying.
Do you have no idea how stupid we are? Yeah.
Really?
100 I'm going to
quit because I can't have a beard.
I almost stopped.
Because you have
my eyebrows are raised right now.
Because your wife wants you to have, like, you're in your 30s and your wife wants you to have a beard. All your friends have a beard out. Like, you want to have a beard.
Clean shaven assholes. Like, I'm just, sorry, I know you don't like cussing or whatever on this. But, yeah, it's just, it helps with retention. Same with tattoos.
Yep.
There was a point where, like, you couldn't have, you know, that couldn't be exposed. Now you can have, like, hand tattoos.
I'm learning stuff.
Neck tattoo.
I remember when Starbucks did the same thing. Like, it was like 8 years ago when Starbucks said you can have tattoos, and suddenly all these Starbucks employees in the middle of summer were working with like long sleeve, or like, check out my hand tats.
Well, that's what's funny, that when you think about a service industry,
neck tat,
how we have evolved to like what a corporation thinks you can and can't. Like, think about where we're at today. Like, think about hiring standards and
you're talking about bike shop owner
and freedoms.
Yeah,
I know, but like, I'm just saying in general, right? Like, this, the push for self-expression and equitability, and there was a point where it'd be like, if you had a tattoo below like your elbow,
you wouldn't be hired. You can be hired,
right?
Yeah.
They're like, this guy's gonna steal from the company.
Yeah, he's dirty.
He's dirty.
The food. He's gonna make bad food.
It was always so risque when you found out like your H, like Tammy and HR had just like tattoos everywhere.
I've never talked to Tammy.
No. Well, I'm just saying.
Like, you're making
experience, right. or military, where you found out, you know, somebody, you know, you saw them out and about, they were just tatted badasses. Did you ever think tattoos were bad, like badass?
Never.
No, you're like, really. That guy's tough, or that girl's badass. No. Really?
Never. Nope. Yeah. Never.
No, I never had one either, though. So
yeah, same here.
Never had a piercing.
No. I had an earring. Tattoos, no piercings. At 15. And then my coach, a year into it, said, you have to remove it. It doesn't look good.
Really?
And I did. And my hair, too. I had long hair.
He didn't like his boys with
earrings. With a hearing? No. And I had a hair all the way down to almost my tush. And
Tukish.
And then he said, I have to cut it. So I looked like a boy band for a while.
You with long hair, pretty, and an earring would be kind of funny.
I looked good.
Yeah.
That looked really good.
Like if the I'll Lost
find
a, Boys.
If I'll find some pictures, maybe I'll put it on the part of the podcast.
Did you...
But,
were you a club kid?
Huge.
Really?
Huge.
Deruda? Sandstorm by Deruda?
I don't know what that is.
I think we're talking like mesh tank tops.
No. Like, so to explain... what's the name of that movie with...
Soap Bubbles?
Yeah. I've been to a foam party.
Many foam parties. But no, I used to go out usually 3 times a week to a club. Clubs in Israel open around 12.
They open at 12 at night.
12 a.m. That's when they start. So we'll get there by 12:30, 1 a.m. So usually we go out around 10 or 11. We meet up. We go out to like a...
Do you think you're like a better off
alone? Oh, yeah. I rocked onto that for a while.
Do you think you're better off alone?
Oh, my God. Yeah, definitely.
Did you ever go to an underage club before alcohol? What's the drinking age in Israel?
Nobody cares. It's 18, but it's...
Okay, but they don't enforce it.
Not so much. I mean, maybe like big clubs they do. I never drank, so I've...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was never my thing.
Nerd! No, it's fine.
It's fine,
No, it's fine. It's cool.
It's fine. I'm a nerd.
No, also, I'm just...
It's not a bad thing, nerd. No, I don't find it bad.
But we had underage clubs in the United States,
right,
and juice bars or whatever they call them, and you go, it's Gatorade and like snacks, Skittles, and it's a club. It was so I think back about it and I'm like, what were we doing?
So in America, grinding. Clubbing is very dirty. I actually, except for Miami,
excuse me,
can I explain?
Let me
explain.
There's no soap bubbles, so therefore it's very dirty.
No, it's got nothing to do with soap bubbles. So
I don't like how he said that.
In Europe, most of the clubbing is done for actually going dancing, and the like. There's not a lot of like hitting on either sexes. It is very well, in my experiences is like that, and my friends' experiences are like that, because when you're in a place where you can't even talk five, you know, inches away from each other because of the music, you just
where I do my best work.
Non-lingual.
By the way, let's
eyes.
Very early.
Pheromones. You're just like exuding the pheromones.
Mm-hmm. I started going out to clubs when I was like 14, probably.
Yeah.
And after like two or three, what I call club rats, which is this someone you think that is really good looking, and then you go out to have a conversation, and then you find out you really want to go back into the darkness. Wait, you stop.
We called club rats just like anybody that just went to like nonstop, obsessively went to the club.
Right, but everyone goes to clubs in Israel. It's part of the culture. So it's not like I go to the club, so I'm weird. It's like you don't go to the club. Why? My dad is almost, he's what, 67 this year? He still goes clubbing 3 days a week.
One of the, he's a rock star.
No, but it's dancing, whatever. It's music and dancing, and we have dancing in the beaches, and we have DJs, and there's like different, like people just dance.
Yes. Now, can I say one?
You can say many things.
Yeah, sides for you. So
obviously, it's a bike podcast.
I went to this really cool club.
We knew this in advance.
Germany. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
It was in Germany. It was like, I think the A, I don't know if this was the A6. No, it was the A6. That was one club that I went to, but another club. It was awesome. So clubs in Germany, clubs in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it seriously.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. So this had, it was awesome. It had one big main room that played all of today's hottest hits, but it also had a massive pirate ship in the center of it. And you could dance on the pirate ship. And they had foam parties. And then they had different rooms. So there was like a rave room.
Yep. And you have a rock like a house room. Yeah, house room, rock room. It's fun. You can move around between the different music.
Sounds pretty
and
rad.
Different people. Like,
and people really are respectful. There's no fights.
No.
I mean, the only fights are the American, you know, it's just us.
Yeah, no, there's no, there's very rarely there's any.
Ruin everything. So, but the ingenious thing that I really loved is when you got there, they gave you a card. It was a punch card.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got your drinks, they just punched the card. And, you know, like Europe, the tipping at the club wasn't, you know, not a thing. So they didn't worry about that. So they're just getting your drinks. And I thought it was so ingenious. But at the end of the night, as you're leaving, you scan it, and that's when you pay.
We didn't have that.
But here's the deal. But if you lose it, they charge you for the max amount of what could be on that card. And you can have more than that's on that card, but you have to go pay. And
but then what if you're like, yeah, but I didn't drink at all.
I don't have
a card.
Full price.
So wait.
It was like 100 euros.
So if you walk in, you're issued a card, and if you don't leave with at least one punch on it,
No.
You can have no punch, but you have to have the punches. Card.
You have to have a card.
You have to have the card.
You have to be in possession of the card.
Hold yeah. On. And then if they're like, if you show up and you don't have a single punch, there.
Right.
Anyway, I love clubbing.
But hold on.
And by the way,
can I just say a good story?
Yes.
This isn't that great of a story as most of them aren't. But I remember getting so excited because I had drank. I maxed it. Maxed the card out because, you know, 100%. And I was on my way out and I found one.
With two.
Literally, like two. Yeah, like two punches.
And
like
you were
6 euro.
Winning.
Oh. When you're. Yeah, what was I? 19?
Did you actually turn in both cards? The full one and the 2-1 together? It's a 12.
He doesn't remember.
No integrity as 18-year-old or 19-year-old Joshua. That was so much fun.
Wait,
it's just crazy going to...
Is 40-year-old Joshua full integrity?
What is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so 40-year-old Joshua is a different Joshua.
Yes, very. Yeah.
So wait. If the 18-year-old Joshua was zero integrity, and we're talking about 100%...
I think you're at 50%
integrity.
He's a 6, so it's 50%.
You're 50% integrity. No.
There's a difference between integrity
and
opportunity. And I had an opportunity. I had my Kelly Clarkson moment like this, and I took it.
I don't think it's bad. I wouldn't. It's not.
It wasn't a great
story.
Not
a criminal.
Listen,
not a criminal.
Listen, that wasn't a great story, but I just enjoyed the club. I was exposed to so many cool things in Europe, whether it was their nightlife and the clubs and the way they did things. They figured it out.
Yeah.
They figured it, and I love that.
So, yeah, they had a lot, many more years to figure things out.
So, there's a couple of things about the clubbing scene in Israel that I like, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, you don't go there to do the whole... you know, hitting, you know, male, female, whatever it is.
I don't believe you.
It's not that nobody does it, but it's not like a thing as much. Because of that, people are comfortable just going there, right? Yeah. It's kind of a, it makes it an easy place to go to. But the, what I want, oh, the other really important thing. Nobody, and it's important to say, nobody there can dance, which means everybody looks the same, silly.
Germans can't dance either, and but
I can't dance either. So oh, wait, when I came dancing. To America, we went club. Like I came to DC with my wife, and I was like, "Oh, let's go clubbing. I love go clubbing. Let's go clubbing in DC."
That's such a weird thing to me. Like I go clubbing with my wife,
and well, she wasn't my wife then. Oh. But same. We went clubbing. She's like, "You want to go to a club?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to go to a club. Come on, it's awesome." And so we go. She takes me to a club, and I really we left after a very short time because
you know
there
why?
Were. Because there were people there, and they were in groups, and they were grinding. Dancing. No, the grinding. Oh. I don't. The grinding is not dancing. There were people who were making moves.
Yeah,
I don't have moves. I can just raise my arms up and down and jump.
Gross.
What else do I know how to do? Like the whatever, like shapes in the air.
I don't brag about
much.
A lot, and this is before like.
But you can dance.
Oh, but this is before dance culture. You know the. Social media and people are really awesome at dancing.
Sure, I can't dance,
and stuff. No. And I don't, like, nobody go, like, even if you go to a club and you see somebody dancing, like, really good, like, on the things you see on TikTok or on TikTok.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have TikTok, but on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, that's, like, you're like, I'm nowhere near that. But in Germany in 2001?
Mm-hmm.
No, two. Yeah, right after 9/11. I was so good compared to those little turds. I was so good at dancing compared to them. Because I'd been going to the underage juice bars, listening to Deruda, Sandstorm. Anyway. Nathan's a club. He was a club kid, too.
Now, you can see Nathan was big into clubbing. He was in Chico. They're known for their all-night clubbing and raving.
There actually were a lot of...
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot going on there.
What?
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's a huge, huge college town. Huge.
Yeah. Oh.
Chico like, State, dude?
Chico State.
Are you kidding
Chico
me?
Chico State was voted the number one party school in the U.S. like 10, 15 times in a row, basically.
What?
More felons come out of Chico State than
it's
any
nuts.
Other community
it's
college.
Nuts. There's so many bars in Chico. It's insane. And every one of them has a happy hour from like 4 p.m. to like 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's a dollar for a pint of beer. Anywhere you go, the competition is so stiff. It's like dollar pints almost every night, most nights. Dollar well drinks. Maybe it's $2 now, but it just
there was
trouble. It's really big trouble.
There was a bar. This is genius marketing. It was in San Antonio, Texas, on the Riverwalk called Mad Dogs, and from 8 to 9, every drink, any drink, $1.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 10, $2. I might be off by
just
an
ramps
hour.
Up.
It just ramps up. So by the time you're smashed, you're ordering the drinks. It doesn't take that long.
Halloween
it doesn't even
Chico?
Take that long to get there. And so
insane.
The volume,
entire downtown is college kids dressed up.
And you think,
and that's not counting who's in the bars. We're talking like the streets are filled.
That's kind of cool.
Streets are filled.
So is that like 6th Street on Austin?
I haven't been there.
It's like 6th Street in Eugene. I got
there's
into
petty
a fight. Cab,
there's petty cabs all over the place, like carton drunk
so
students
cool,
back all over the place.
I did not know that.
Like it is, yeah. No, it's party central.
So, go ahead, say you got.
Oh,
into
I got
a fight?
In a fight on 6th Street, like in the middle of the road. Yeah, some guy spit his.
What?
It's so dumb.
Are you 4 year old?
Or was?
Where was it? When was it?
I didn't
want to
fight the guy.
How old were you?
22. 23.
Wow. So, but it's being tall.
It's not good.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Nobody fights with a small guy ever. Ever.
He got.
You're tall, that's why.
No, but a small guy, I were worried about a small guy.
No, but that's the thing. Nobody fights with a small guy ever.
It's
nobody
a lose,
ever
it's a lose,
started
lose,
with
he wanted
it's
to
a
fight.
It's a lose lose
he wanted to fight me.
But he's a small guy?
Uh-huh.
A small guy wanted to
that
fight
was
you
so bad.
I why?
He was, his shirt
to
came
prove
off
something.
Quick. Yeah.
His shirt came Why
oh,
do you
no,
take your shirt off when you fight?
Cuz he makes him I don't know. He didn't want to mess up his shirt.
So he was like, I'm going to mess this really tall dude up, but I'm going to take my shirt off to be more... Yeah.
He kind of did. No, here's the deal. Like, it was pathetic on my part. So
you left.
I was so drunk. We were so drunk. But then here's, I just got to tell this story now.
Okay.
So we're coming out of the club. I just said something, as I do. Like, but it wasn't like weird. It was, I think
it was you. You'd be,
he's wearing like an Oregon.
It was a Josh. He was wearing a University
of Oregon.
So a less refined version of Josh.
I said something about it, and he spit his gum out at me. Like, and so I didn't really say anything. Nothing happened right there. He just did that, and I was like, it was weird. We were both hammered.
So where's the fight part?
I'm going to tell you. So I'm like, he's on his, so then like I turn around because I was with my brother and we were with some friends, and they're like, hey, 6 o'clock or something like that. And so I go into like jujitsu mode. So, and I do this like, no, I knew. I was like, I thought I was
crane on you.
I thought I was so cool. No, I thought I knew.
Caterpillar. Crouching Josh. Hit punch. A punch.
Drunk BJJ is, I was not a very effective person, as intoxicated as I was. So I get him, but I basically pull him down on top of me. So he's a smaller
shirtless
person.
He's shirtless.
But I'm waiting to start. He's shirtless. Yeah, I know.
So oil comes. Suddenly there's oil on both of us.
My shoes are
we're
off.
We're in a pool.
Somebody's lost listening. A shoe. There's one shoe soap. Was off. I was one shoe soap off. Bubbles. I was wearing a blazer. But anyway, so he's on, and I'm waiting to get hit. Now, because I'm in a bad position, so I'm waiting for him.
But you put yourself in that position.
Not really, because there was really nothing.
How did this happen? Like, he's
shorter than you, right?
A verbal, yeah, but there was a tiny verbal exchange that wouldn't have warranted a fight. It wasn't even like shit talking. Anyway, so he just comes running out, and so maybe he interpreted it differently. I don't know. Mental health days, right? So he's coming out. And I pull him on top of me.
You pull him on top of
well,
me?
Well, no, I thought I was...
he was shirtless. So I need to pull him on top of me.
And shorter than you. No, so clearly the logical choice
here. I locked up with him.
I hug him as hard as I can.
Kind of, but I was like, I thought I was like, I'll put him in like a
headlock.
No, like a triangle, like, I don't know.
Like a jiu-jitsu, like a boa constrictor.
Anyway.
Squeeze him in my legs.
Totally. Right? Thinking I'm like, sleeper hold. I don't have it. He's on top. I'm waiting to get hit. And then... I was with my brother. My brother's a big dude. And then, like, my brother just yanks this dude up. Because, like, my brother isn't like, oh, let's all gang up on this guy. Because he's, like, there was mutual combat at this point, right? Between me and
I think your brother's like, this is going nowhere. You guys don't know what you're
100%.
Doing. 100%. Let's just separate this. Totally. Restart.
So he grabs the guy button. By his belt. And he just lifts him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's... And now he wants to... And my brother's even bigger than me.
Dangling,
at this point. My
angry, shirtless
like,
guy.
He's like 280 pounds. And so,
you're the runt of the family?
Yeah. So he starts getting into it with my brother. So my brother puts him on the ground. Not hard for him. Difficult for me. And the guy, so he's kind of down on him. And he's like, hey, quit. You know, stop. And the guy bites him.
What? Good job.
Mm-hmm. No. Not good. What?
That's what you do. You do whatever you need to do to get out of it.
Yeah.
But
he was on the bottom, and so this is where it gets bad. So then my brother's just like elbow.
Oh, damn.
And like, it just, his head's just bouncing.
That's bad. That's when the police get
come. No. But no, they did come. So anyway, they came, and they saw saw the bite or whatever, and they just said, all right, you guys get out of here. And asked us if we wanted to press charges because... the guy, from everybody's perspective, he came
after you.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, even though I didn't do anything.
So someone was there to
but my brother had to get, my brother had to get shots. Well, I don't know what you get when you, what happens when you get bit by a person? Because it's really bad.
No, I mean, it could be all kinds of transmitted diseases.
Totally. So he had to, but he had to do it over
a while. Bodily fluids.
He had to get a shot.
Rabies?
No. So what did he get? He had to get something. Well, he got checked out, and then they had to do it again because it's like you have to wait and see if.
Well, yeah, because you don't.
HIV or whatever.
So did the guy break
the
skin?
I think that's when they stole.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like. Oh, yeah. If you can see a bite, it's like a real.
No. He bit. Yeah, it was straight.
He bit him hard.
Yeah. So anything that could be like
Tyson
fluid transmission.
Yeah.
Disease borne kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's not when. Weren't we still thinking that HIV could be transmitted through.
You were asking me what we were saliva? Thinking back in 2002.
Yeah.
About HIV.
Yeah.
That's, no, no, not the podcast for this. I don't remember what we were thinking back in 2002 about HIV bites.
Okay, bike. All right, let's biting. Talk about. Speaking of bites, let's talk about bikes.
I can we? Is this
I don't
like
know. What, how
this
much
late? Like this late in the this procedure?
Is where,
this
it is it feels like that might be a bit of a whiplash for this our listeners here. That we're all of a sudden changing from.
I don't even know where to go
second,
with this.
Our
now.
Second violence-based podcast
violent.
In a row.
There was no violence. Just this
we were
guy
about
was
what we were doing our
airplane kidnappings. Airplane kidnappings. No, and then you said your story about the guy that tackled you in the airport. And yeah. No, it was predominantly violence-based.
Listen, if we're going to talk about bikes, we need to talk about the cruel world that is out there. I don't think they're mutually... They're not... We don't have to... Let's just talk about bikes for a
second. Let me ask you a question. Actually, something you said earlier. Yeah. I'm interested now. And I'm interested, meaning I think I know the answer, but I want to discuss this. Is cycling an elitist sport?
An elitist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why?
Because one level of cycling is for transportation and can be, you know, is an effective means for transportation all over the world. And then there's the people that have to cycle.
No, I'm talking about
cyclists. No. Let me get there.
All right.
Let me get there.
Build
and
it up.
Have to bike. That is their primary means of transportation, right? You understand
right.
that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that there's a lot
right.
of
commuting yes. based. Yeah.
What?
I need to ride a bike versus I want
to
ride a bike.
Sick. I need to get to
correct.
Work.
I have to
I
ride
to
a bike.
To get to school.
And it's not a nice bike. Sometimes there's not even rubber.
Sure. Sure.
On yep. the wheels.
We yep. know.
And then there's the type of cycling where it's a, you know, full carbon fiber, full XTR, mm-hmm. you know, a $8,000 to $10,000 to $12,000 bike.
A pastime hobby.
And also requires a lot of other financial investment between gear and even what you have, transport mm-hmm. and maintenance and care. And then, you know, races, whatever you want to say, right? Mm-hmm. So that is 100% luxury.
So I'm the question 100%. Is not, is it an expensive sport?
Or it's an elite. It is
hard to approach sport because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Are we elitists? And I think even, let me like, I think there's different sports within the sport. Like there's triathlon, there's roadies.
Elitist.
And there's
elitist.
Mountain bikers.
Elitist. Those are all elitist things. It's all. It's not a bad thing. I'm
so
just
I think
saying
by, your definition, by your definition, elitism is that simply you have enough money. To put into the product that it takes you.
Money and time.
Sure. Okay. Money
Same
and time
thing.
That you have.
Money equals time.
Enough equals money. Of those things to dedicate no. to something that's a hobby.
Yeah. Paramotoring is not a means to get from point A to point B.
It could be. You could have paramotored your way here.
Stop. No, but it's not. It's not bad.
Right?
We should just be. It's just. It's a fortunate. It's a. It's a, if something. If somebody's able to do it on the level that you are, you both are involved with.
Okay.
With, mm-hmm. even though yes, you can buy a.
Do you know what's interesting about this? It's interesting because if you think about like where you're kind of going with this, which is like the cost of entry, which is massively high for bicycling, right? Compared to like let's say basketball or baseball, your cost of entry could potentially be like. You can do it across the street from you in your own block. It's a basketball and there's a court there already. It's a baseball and a bat and a mitt and stuff like that. It's not necessarily expensive to practice as a hobby. What I think is interesting is that the ultimate profit margin, if you are successful in these given sports, is massively higher. So your investment to gain in something like baseball or basketball
football.
Is insane, right? Versus cycling, like you're going to dump in a massive amount of money, and if you train and practice a lot, eventually you could be a pro, and you might make your money back on your investment, maybe.
But also, you're kind of supporting my argument because
I'm not discounting your argument. Just so you know, I'm pointing out a different aspect to it, which is the interesting part about the money in versus the money you can potentially get out.
I'm just going to finish.
Yes,
this
sir.
But that even. That plays into the narrative of an elitist sport even more because that means that you can partake in such an expensive sport and it doesn't matter
if it has a
financial
yeah.
success.
No, you're
piece
right.
To
yeah,
it.
For sure.
Can I ask a question? Wait for both of you.
Yeah.
What is your definition of an elitist? Because for me in my head, I was thinking, asking. Maybe I've asked the wrong question, or I asked it the wrong way. So elitist, I mean like. do you think cycling is a sport that allows new participant to come in and become part of it, or we do a really bad job as a whole? Not me and you, Nathan, but as a whole, do you think cycling and cycling people are actually really bad at bringing people in?
Yes.
And attracting them in because of their, I'm a cyclist and I know and you don't, so you don't fit with me, or do the industry does a good job at inviting new participants?
I would go another, and that's the, another aspect of that.
And that's what I was talking about.
I think cyclists tend to be loners. Not all of us, obviously, Gilad. Right. Like, you tend to have community, like, you approach community, but a lot of cyclists do it in part because it's something they can do alone.
Okay.
It's an alone adventure. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, like, I think there's an aspect to that where you got to think, like, a lot of cyclists aren't necessarily in it for community. They're kind of in it for their free time and, like, their time to go off and on their road ride or their mountain bike ride and kind of have some alone time, maybe. I mean, maybe I'm speaking for myself. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a but I think it's quiet. There's something to that, right? Like, it's a...
There's just different sports attract...
The cost of entry to be a part of, like, that community is...
You're not
going to
go play basketball by yourself.
High.
You could, but it's not something you're going to do. You're going to play with a group of people, right?
So here's an interesting thing, Josh. The cost of entry to cycling in, let's say, the last 15 years has probably reduced by 2/3, maybe more.
I don't believe that.
No, it's probably more.
Reduced?
Reduced.
I don't believe that.
Yes. And I'll explain why. Okay? Because for you to have, let's say the trails here are the same, and they have been pretty similar, for instance, for the last like 15 years. You agree with me, Nathan?
Mm-hmm.
Like how hard they are.
Yeah, about, yeah.
Now, 15 years ago, for you to have a bike that you will enjoy... So not if you were a new rider and you wanted to go enjoy riding these trails, you would have to spend an equivalent today money of $5,000 to $6,000 just for the access to that level of trails.
Yeah.
Today I can put you on today's money, a $1,200 bike that you will enjoy what a $5,000 bike of today was.
You just said $1,200 because that compared to that's, what that's you can buy
2/3 cheaper, like I
that
said.
Doesn't that has nothing to do with it, the cost of entry being extremely high.
And another point to that, like, you can have one basketball that a whole bunch of people use.
Yes.
Right? Not each person has to have their own to have fun.
I want to, like, so this is something I think that you're maybe, Nathan, you're also thinking about it the wrong way, because if we're talking about competitive right now, Let me go there for a second.
You asked about elitist sports.
But basketball. If you want to be in the NBA, it's not like you're playing in your neighborhood with your friends and then someone picks you up to the NBA. No. It does not work like that. You go through a lot of basketball camps and you go through...
But how does it start? How does your love for basketball start?
But my love for cycling didn't start with racing at the Tour de France. It started with riding with my friend.
But you also had a bike.
Yeah.
Even a bike. The idea is that basketball, you can go to the park.
I see where both of you guys are going with this.
What I'm trying to say is all sports are expensive at the beginning.
No.
Okay? Yes.
No.
My daughter does ballet. It costs more than
my
biking.
That's expensive. Yeah, that's not an expensive thing.
That's not like an inner city activity.
Sure. I want to bring it back though.
Okay.
Is cycling... Are we doing a good job as the cycling community bringing new people
here you
with
are.
Money? Let's here, not talk no, about like on. The
here you here yes. Here's the difference between your shop. You're not in inner city location.
He's not talking about our shop specifically.
No,
right?
I'm
you're
just talking about the industry.
Cycling.
Oh, the industry?
The industry of cycling.
Is the industry, you think, right now understanding that the only way to grow is bringing new people in? And are they doing a good job?
The other thing they're thinking about is keeping the existing aging demographic in by putting more e-bikes out there.
Yeah. Right.
Like, so that is the other aspect.
So please,
like, they're retaining. They're trying to retain.
And an e-bike is even that much more expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing that Nathan, you know, spoke about this week. And I don't know why I didn't put, you know, two and two together back before that. But, like, we have a growth of the e-bike industry. And I'm like, well, but that's going to... You know, I don't think it's going to become the same as Europe and blah, 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 blah. And then Nathan's like, well, there's two things. One is the fact that there's, because of e-bikes, new people are coming into the sport because now they can ride, actually get access to places that they might not have been able to do it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I totally did not think about, Nathan, say what you just said a second ago. not interrupted.
The aging demographic, right?
What's like going on with aging demographic?
Well, you're getting people who are about to retire from cycling because it's too hard. They love it, but they're like, I just can't do it anymore. I can't hang with my friends, and you know. But now they can get an e-bike and they can be having fun again.
They transition to road riding.
Customers that are stoked. Well, there's even e-bikes for road bikes too.
Right,
like but you got drop bar e-bikes.
They transition. Is this coming through all right?
Yeah, you sound great. Okay. Actually, do you all need me to add some more volume?
I don't know.
I can.
We all seem kind of quiet to me, but...
Okay. Well, I just don't want
to... Well, with you
could
on purpose...
Those headphones I'm trying to have
no, 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 no. No, with Nathan is on purpose, so he talks louder, because if I give him enough volume, he talks too... You can't hear him.
But I feel like you, I feel like my lips are up against this thing.
Is it better now?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Whatever.
How about now?
That's too much. Okay. So, but... no, less. Do
okay.
less.
Right, okay. Do less. Less.
Okay.
More. Sure. Less.
No, it's fine. Okay. Whatever. I'll figure it out.
So, do you... Okay. And then, so, if we don't do a good job... As an industry, what should we do, like, to bring new people in? Like, should we have, like, obviously there's Walmart bikes. You can go buy a bike for $150, but it's not a real bike.
Stop.
I'm asking a question. This is a conversation about, like, what can we do to bring new people to the sport and for them not to feel threatened by this idea that to become a cyclist, you need to join some sort of, like, a weird club.
It's already there.
So we can't go back.
No,
we
can't, you can. We can. That's a pretty big hurdle because first off, you have to be in an area where there's a mountain bike community.
The thing is, there's not any one sentence simple solution to this. Like, your question is a great and simple question, but there's not a simple solution. There's not one solution that works for every community and area.
Like, let me say this. Like, first, New York, massive cycling community of, like, kids out ripping wheelies, you know, dodging cars, like, you know, you've seen it online. There's a massive subculture of
people who know how to wheelie that I don't.
No, yeah. Cycling in town, crazy, and like wheelie. It's crazy, and it's awesome. it's a whole scene,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's not necessarily what I'm talking about as far as barring people into the idea of going out on two wheels and riding around.
Why not? Is that not a thing?
Because those bikes are also not those bikes are not those bikes are not $8,000. Those bikes are not $10,000.
But you know what though, I got to say something though. You get people. Wait, slow down. Let me talk.
It's mountain biking that we're talking.
No,
about.
Yes. We're talking about.
I didn't know we were talking about mountain biking specifically.
We're talking about anything. Thing.
You got to be in a mountain bike location.
Correct. For that, somebody you need outdoors. Right. You can't say that in the city.
Hold on, I understand. So I'm not saying that anybody can't pick up a bike and go cycle. I'm specifically talking about the mountain bike industry.
And mountain bikes are inherently more expensive than other types of bikes.
And when you say our industry, I'm not, you can't just say, us, our industry, and then include, you know, the BMX bike, the $100 bike. No, you guys specifically cater to...
Sure, I'm not including the $100
You are in a mountain bike, this is a destination. How many mountain bike destinations...
Our industry is cycling, have a diverse
demographic.
Our industry is cycling. Our shop tends to be mostly mountain bikes. But our shop—that's
a space thing, though.
But the industry is very much not just mountain bikes.
Correct.
Because you guys are a mountain bike shop, I want to talk about mountain bikes.
No, but I don't want to talk. This, you know, there's a reason why this podcast is not Handlebar Podcast. And he does talk about the industry. It's because I do like to bring in a conversation that's bigger than us.
But he wants to talk about mountain bikes.
I'm talking about
mountain bikes. You want to talk about mountain bikes.
Because you said, is our sport elitist? There's so many different versions of biking. You can't blanket the entire industry as saying our industry.
I can, and you can say I can't do it. That's a conversation.
So how many cities have mountain bike trails and in nature near them? Like, let's start there. Like, in and of that limits your range quite a bit.
That's why I went back to that question, is how many towns or cities that are known for their recreation or mountain biking, mountain biking are diverse inner city, diverse.
Well, okay, when you say inner city, you're saying big city.
Okay, diverse.
When you're saying big city, you're automatically saying no off-roading usually.
No, okay.
Because a city is made out of concrete and asphalt. Which is the opposite of outdoors.
Typically, city parks, they don't allow mountain biking there.
How many mountainous areas where mountain biking is really this kind of riding popular that have that are as culturally diverse as a place like Ashland, Oregon?
I lived in D.C. and D.C. was very...
Not saying that this place is diverse.
Let me say this. D.C. and that area, like Virginia and... like everywhere, like DC trails, which I haven't ridden a lot of off-road. I rode a lot of road bikes in DC. Mm-hmm. So the road biking community was very diverse. I wouldn't say 50-50, but I would say we had about 25% of our group rides, which were big. Mm-hmm. Like the 12 o'clock Hans Point ride, which was kind of like all the public, like anyone who works for the,
is
like,
Washington,
the government.
Is Washington, D.C. a diverse
place? Oh, very.
Right.
Very.
So you naturally are going to have...
Sure, but we had a lot. So we had a very diverse group of roadies that were coming to those rides, you know, regularly.
Why are we getting away from mountain biking?
Now I want to talk about mountain biking. Mountain biking, interestingly, every time I went mountain biking, it was even more diverse there. I don't know why. Don't do that. It will break the wire. I don't know why, but it was even...
You jam these wires into that box.
I roll them nicely. I don't do this to it. No, I'm right. No, it could break.
Go ahead. No kinky, the wire.
Yeah. A wire does not...
don't kinky my pinky.
It's hard to find these.
Anyway. When you posed the original statement of like, are we being...
But again, I don't want to say like, this was one experience that I had. I don't know what New York is like, right? And I'm not saying right now, I did give a blanket, like the question you write, the simpler the question, sometimes the more complex the answer is, right? But I'm just, I don't want to complex it right now because you like to choose like mountain biking.
Yeah.
But I'm just asking, like, is the industry doing a good job or a bad job at trying to get to draw new people
Let me ask you this.
To the sport?
Are you doing a good job of drawing new people into the sport at Handlebar?
I honestly don't know. Handlebar does is support the people who do a good job 100%. Doing it.
And you guys do a great job of that.
So, meaning I have, for instance, we have a program in Ashland called Devo. And actually, it's nationwide or West Coast. I'm not sure. I know it's bigger than...
It was Nika. Nika's nationwide. It's like a feeder into Nika in our area anyway.
Anyway, it's a group of kids. And they go to kids from middle school or even more before that.
Mm-hmm. Upper middle school, I think.
Yeah, upper... No.
Mid-middle school. No, you know what? Devo's... first and second grade even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it started like 6 or 7 years old, okay? And they take kids and, you know, they get them into mountain biking, for instance, in places where they can, and they have instructors, and they do a really good job at doing it, like get them excited about it. And so we support them. We give them discounts. We do like classes for them. We get the kids excited about doing it, and we try to support them and their families.
So do you have bikes that... When I think about access, this is what I think about. So you already have, Ashland's a really, probably not the greatest place, but I'm not saying everybody in Ashland's a baller. There's a lot of financially secure.
I'll tell you something you'd be sure shocked. It's important. Wait. Ashland is a really bad place to start becoming a cyclist.
Okay.
But which is not what you expected.
It's steep.
But if you go to an elementary school, right? Yes. Let's just say this. Not everybody has not everybody can go buy their kid a several thousand dollar mountain bike. But some people do, right? We know that because I see these kids ripping on bikes that are more than I make in a month. So let's just say this. If we're just talking about do you create more access, you go to an elementary school and you say, listen, we know that cycling is not accessible to everybody. We know not every family here, you know, has the means to get their kid into mountain biking. So we're gonna do a thing. We're gonna collectively get together with some of the people in the community, and we're gonna fund, you know, several bikes that are several sizes, and we're gonna hold, you know, children's clinics for mountain biking, and we're gonna basically from start to finish, you know, get them into bikes, teach them. Ride with them. Let them use our bikes. Let them use our equipment. Maintain the bikes. And they always have a bike to ride. That's unfortunately when we start having a conversation about accessibility, that's, you know, and if you're doing a good job or not, that would be something in my head that would be a program that if the cycling community, I'm not talking about you as
no,
a
I know.
City's
I'm not talking about city is like doing that twice that. And it's twice failed because people are not great with it. They steal the bikes or they destroy the bikes and they don't. Yeah, twice the city's tried to do community bikes, like free bikes. You just grab
it
and
go.
Oh,
no. That's right.
That's different. I know you're talking about sports-based
stuff. I'm talking about, like, why doesn't the city get together with their fun little service industry tax and all their other.
The city doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, what people do. But I get it, but there's enough. Would you say that there is enough
wealth? Let me rephrase. If the city was worried about that, they would have mountain bikes in the park. They'd have trails in the parks. There would be more trails on city land nearby. And that's not to say that they won't do that someday, but that's not something that's really been on their radar to do.
But you have this amazing place for mountain biking, right? Ashland's pretty cool, right? It
depends on... So I'm going to say something that Gilad was going to say, I think, which is to say that this... Yes, if you're a certain level already of being a biker, Ashland is a playground. It's super fun. But if you're not already at a certain level, it's very intimidating to try to learn here and try to become a cyclist here because it's very steep. It's very hard to get access to the trails in the first place because you got to climb quite a ways to get there. And then when you do, it's just very fast, very steep terrain. And it's not beginner type terrain, right, to be clear.
And that's like, okay. That's an acceptable thing because now you're dealing with, if we're talking about instruction, now you're talking about liabilities, you're talking about all sorts of factors that go into whether or not you can bring a brand new person. And
it's just hard to like go from zero to like even mm-hmm. becoming 10% of a cyclist here. It's just tough because that first 10% feels like climbing the biggest mountain in the world.
Okay, how about this? Let's go back to this is a good segue because I was just talking about mountain bikes. So what if we talked about road bikes? All right, how many that is accessible, right? You have something really docile, Bear Creek Trail, mm-hmm. whatever. How many, you know, and you're talking about, does the industry do a good job? You know, how many bike manufacturers are giving every shop like, you know, three loaner bikes, you know, for kids that want to go out on a road bike ride, guided, right? Like you go out and you take a bunch of kids with you. And now they have a bike.
So okay, I think one of the root problems is there's actually just not that much money in the bicycle industry.
Totally get that.
Okay, we're making this big argument that people have a lot of money who do cycling and that it's elitist in that perspective, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is that the bicycle industry doesn't have a lot of money in it. Like it doesn't have a lot of margin. There's not a huge profit number to any one of the businesses that's in the cycling, right. anywhere. It's like whether it's the bike shop, whether it's the manufacturer, there's just not a lot of extra money going around.
Right, which bars a lot of people from entry.
The equipment from the factory to the person's hands is not a heavy money making process.
And so I totally understand.
There's not a huge like overage of cash where you'd be like, well, let's just take 20 bikes out of our you know this region's allocation, just give them away. Like,
the mountain biking world will probably always be limited to those with the means to do so.
If the entire industry decided to tax themselves and stick to one page and raise prices and not have
more
cutting anywhere,
higher prices,
and
you
then
say?
Tax, take that tax and put it into bikes that were free or accessible for more people, like
not
that's
free,
a way you could do it, right?
Stop.
But the entire industry
stop,
would have to
stop
do
for
that.
A second. So, first of all, I love this conversation. So,
no,
but
you don't
want
to
have it
just,
any longer.
Yeah, you just told
no,
us.
No, no, no. But I want you to stop because I really like what you're saying here. Like, that's a very good, like, that would be an interesting thing. What if, like, for every bike sold, $15 goes into this basket, then the industry uses to bring, it's basically the cost of a new, bringing something new to the sport. Right, so they take that money and then they have an allocation of whatever many millions, because it's all the bikes sold that are going towards this like bucket, and the industry decides on it, and then they allocate X amount of programs around the country that gets people into bikes. So by the way, like there was a gentleman agreement by the way in Japan back in the 90s that limit the horsepower on engines. So basically they said, let's not fight because this war is going to go forever and nobody's going to win. So let's say that there's a limit on horsepower. Let's make cars lighter, better in other ways.
In the
90s? Let's not fight on that. Yeah, in Japan.
The 90s, Skyline GTRs, 1991, did not have low horsepower.
It did. It had 298 horsepower.
That's 300 horsepower.
Yeah, but they limit. But
that
do you know that
Nissan? Oh my, holy!
Wait, you want to hear something crazy? That engine can take almost 1,000 horsepower.
I know, but you're like we have a gentleman's agreement. Well, we're going to make our cars baseline super fast.
No, no, but what I'm trying to say is though,
if you want to go slower,
this is a really weird.
No, no,
slow cars in Japan. You say
you can check it. I'm not okay.
300 horsepower.
Check it out. Check me out. Okay,
oh,
it's fine.
I'm checking it out.
I know. You could go to Google right now. The gentleman agreement in Japan. Go Google it while I'm talking to Nathan here.
Can you hand me? Oh, here it is.
And just remember, I've yet to make a mistake. So it might be 320 or it might be 280.
You're still talking about horsepower that is double the entry-level car.
Also, there's been tariffs that have been, like, for a while.
It stopped, by the way. It stopped.
Selling motorcycles from Japan to the U.S., the U.S. would impose a tariff that said you cannot sell a motorcycle over 700 cc's or sure. whatever. Well, like, that's fluctuated over the years.
We have something called the chicken tax, and that's why trucks in America a certain way. Like, there's a lot of
weird things that we don't.
What I'm saying, that's interesting. Actually, what interesting idea you're saying, because that's an interesting.
Well, and here's the thing.
I love it, actually.
There are certain brands that have their own, like SRAM has their World Bicycle Relief Fund, right? So some of their profits go into that. I think Trek has their own thing, and I think Santa Cruz does a lot of their stuff towards like trail building, you know, like they do $1 million a year towards trail building. And I guess the point is, and I think Specialized has something like that too. And like, I think all these bigger brands have some form of like payback into the industry, but it's not linked and it's not cohesive into getting more people on bikes.
They're doing it also to promote themselves not like the industry as a whole. Wait, I was right.
Well, no,
because I was right. Yeah, but say that on, I was right. Say, start with I was right.
Hold on. You're not wrong. He's like, so you're right.
Hold on. Look at that. No, it's you're not a dog. It's a cat.
No, this is. See what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
It's not. I'm not a dog.
Right. Hold on. But it's ridiculous. He can be right, which I'm completely okay saying that he's right. That's not what he's not understanding the point. The origins. It's a 276.
276.
Horsepower limit. So it's already a very fast car. He introduced this thought as if, they had a gentleman's agreement to make cars slow.
Yeah, but no, his baseline is like, he's used to like 600 horsepower cars and stuff
But
like
he goes, a top
minivans.
Here we go. 100. Yeah, they were limited to 112 miles an hour and 276 horsepower. Yeah, that is still incredibly fast.
It's not terribly
fast.
Limiting as you're in your mind.
No.
Right.
Right. Yeah, okay. But he tried to sell it that it was a gentleman's agreement to make cars slow. But his baseline for
his
slow.
His baseline's off.
Right. We know. It's always off.
We know it's off.
It's always
his
off.
His baseline's off.
Look at him. He's it's off right now. Stupid jeans. Tiny kid shirt. God.
Okay. So I just want to state that I'm right.
Yeah.
First of all, and second of all, I'm right. But the point is, the gentleman agreement there was the point that they were starting to make cars faster and faster, and they said, "Well, there's no reason to fight about that."
Well,
they did.
Rally car racing too, like in WRC rally, they did that. They had to limit it was getting pretty crazy, and they've done it in Formula One.
Yep.
They've done it.
No, do I think everything's badass limited that their cars were capable just off the shelf of 1,000 horsepower, and they're like, let's just dial it down. It's impressive.
It's cool. They build the engine for 1,000 horsepower, but because of the gentleman agreement, they dial it down.
I don't like that.
It's junk.
I don't like that. It's a gentleman.
That's how they called it. Because there was no contract.
It's not
inclusive. They just talked to each other and decided that. Like, there was no, like...
There's no law.
No. There was no, like, you have to do that.
Because they were like, we're making cars really fast as it is.
So it's fine. We don't need faster.
Let's just be responsible.
And then I forgot who broke the agreement. Like, someone said, like...
Toyota Corolla.
No.
No, I'm just...
No, but obviously it's... Well,
Acura.
So cars have... How are we going
some
into the cars?
American.
Anyway, so... We're gonna finalize this one. By the way, what do I call the beginning part of this episode?
I don't know, but it's pretty clear that we need to have like pictures of all of us at like 18 years old or something like that, because we need to see your long hair and your earring and my.
I don't know if you see the earring there.
My being 19 but looking like I'm 12.
If my long hair is there, you won't see the earring because my hair is covering it.
Oh, okay, and but then whatever Josh the was hair. Doing back in his.
I love that.
What 18?
Oh, serving my country. What
so
were you
the
doing?
Name. Mm-hmm. So the name of the episode is
Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Is clubbing and is cycling elitist?
Such
what's
a boring
pretty
title.
Much covers it. Street fights.
Street fights.
Street fighting.
Poorly orchestrated street fights.
Daruda. Just say Daruda Sandstorm.
No. Okay. Poorly orchestrated street fights.
Well, I'm not done here.
Bad street fights.
You're
done.
We're not over yet.
Home.
Oh, he's ending home. It. He's ending it. I have one more thing. I know how to get more cyclists on or more people on bikes.
How?
Three letters. EMP.
ATF.
EMP.
What's EMP?
Electromagnetic pulse. Boom. All the cell phones are gone. All the tech's gone. All the cars don't start.
Oh.
You're going to be walking or riding bikes. Everybody.
I like how he went to domestic terrorism.
Joking.
In what order. Is happening here?
You
now?
Just had to say.
You know, you asked for a simple solution. That's where my brain went.
I don't have a
simple solution.
The cool thing. I don't have a solution. I'm okay with some things being not accessible.
I don't either. There's not a simple solution.
Snowboarding.
Okay, not a simple
EMP
solution.
Snowboarding. Take away also my
ice hockey,
electric shifting,
yeah.
Wakeboarding.
Yeah, it will.
So I want to
whatever gear you were in when it went off. You're still there.
That's that.
You're yep.
I don't like that idea.
I'm sorry.
I love my electric shifting.
I'm sorry.
Well, I also love listening to a podcast when I'm writing and music.
Have you ever listened to this podcast?
You'll have to tune back
never.
Into the real world.
Really? Never.
I can't.
I never listen to it.
I don't like listening to my own voice.
I cannot stand like Galad's voice.
Even not in a podcast.
No, I can't listen to mine either.
No.
I sound nasally and weak.
You look nasally and weak in like real life.
I like actually that I'm getting Galad to actually start saying mean things because he does this. I will always say he has this fun little craft of being mean to me. Uh-huh. And then once the recording goes on, being sort of neutral.
Yeah.
And then
he treats you special.
He's so, yeah, it's manipulative.
No, it's the podcast face, which you can't see because it's behind a microphone.
But he's always mean to me.
I'm not always mean to you.
He gets me stirred up and I don't have the emotional
maturity.
Elasticity to keep a calm.
And then he chokes me. And then he puts me in a headlock.
You guys do it
until I fall.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You both thrive on it.
Well, here's the deal. I thank you for letting me be here. And you guys are great.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Thank everyone. Next time, more
we'll
stuff.
Talk more about bikes, maybe.
Next time, I think we are going to talk about bikes.
Yeah, I think we are too.
Yeah, we have a plan.
Sure
we have a plan.
We have a guest.
We have a guest.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.